The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
What is Hanukkah that we celebrate? The Tonga Rabbonah, the Rabbi's thought, the Chofeh of Kislev, do me the Hanukkah tonight. On the 25th day of Kislev, there are 8 days of Hanukkah. In the Lay Mishpah Behan, Rahain and Lay Samishpah. These are days when we make no hespedim, no eulogies, and we're not allowed to fast. Shivshinichmusu Yivonim Lahechu, when the Yivonim, this was the Greek Empire. The Greek Empire entered, the Hegel entered the Beis HaMikdash. This is speaking during the time of the Bayis Sheni. It was after Babel destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. And then Klal Yisrael went into exile, Golus Babel. And from there also they were exiled to Porus Umoda, under the Syrian Empire. They were there a total of 70 years. The Syrian Empire destroyed Babel. They became the dominant power of the world. And then the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great, he conquered the Syrian Persian Empire. Meanwhile, Klal Yisrael had rebuilt their Beis HaMikdash, come back there in Israel, second Beis HaMikdash. And later, the Greeks invaded the Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and they went into the Hegel. Timu Kolash went into the Hegel. They caused impurity to all of the oil of the Hegel. Ukishigobru Malchus Beis Hashmonoi to Motzko. And when the Malchus, the kings of Hashmonoi, these were the Kahani, Matishohu, Yehuda, Maccabee, and his family, and they regained their strength and they were victorious. They searched and they found only one flask of oil, which had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. And it was sufficient oil only to light for one day. Barco made a miracle, and the oil lasted for 8 days. He lit the menorah for 8 days. The following year, the Chazal, the sages of Israel, established that this should be a yontif for halal v'haydor, in which we give praise and thanks to our Kodesh Baruch. This is what the Gemara says Hanukkah is. There's two observations to make here. Firstly, it says that Yevonim were timu kol hashmonim shebehecha, that they caused impurity to all of the oil in the hecha. What is the significance here? It seems that there was something that the Yevonim, the Greeks, had against the oil in the hecha. The Gemara brings out timu kol hashmonim shebehecha. It doesn't say that they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say that they caused any damages. It says timu kol hashmonim shebehecha. This is the main thing that this Braisa brings out. It caused impurity to all of the oils of the hecha. That's one observation. Second observation is a question that is asked by everyone. The miracle of Hanukkah was that the Greek Empire was the prevailing empire of the world, and they were much stronger than Klal Yisrael. And then they declared war on Israel, so it was a miraculous feat that Yehuda Maccabee and Hashmonaim were able to be victorious over them and drive them out of the Eretz Yisrael. But they say in Alanisim, there was Me'atim via Rabin via Me'atim, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave over the multitude in the hands of many. Yivori via Chaloshim, he gave over the strong into the hands of the weak. So this itself was a very, very, this itself was a miracle. And it was through this that Klal Yisrael was saved. So this should, the emphasis on the miracle of Hanukkah should be placed in this vein. The Brayshim does not make mention of this at all. That's a second observation to make here. The Gemara also tells us, also on the same day, Tondra Bonin mitzvah Hanukkah near Mishu Beisel. Mitzvah Hanukkah is that every man should light one candle for his entire household. This is the Ikur mitzvah, this is the basic mitzvah. Every man should light one candle each day for his entire household. Mahadrin, near the Cholef of Echol. But there's a Din Mahadrin. Mahadrin, what does that mean? Two interpretations. Rashi says, Mahadrin, these are those who are Mahadrin Achara Mitzvahs. A Mahadrin Achara Mitzvahs. In the word pursue, those who want to pursue more mitzvahs. Rabbi Nechanandel says, Mahadr is from Loshen Hidur. Firsha Mahadrin, Mahadre Mitzvah, Kirabrin, and the Hidur Mitzvah Ad Shish. Those who want to beautify the mitzvahs. So it means someone who wants to do more than the mitzvah. He's not satisfied with the mitzvah itself. He wants more mitzvahs, or he wants to increase the quality of the mitzvah. So here he has an opportunity. He can light in his household one candle for every individual, even though according to the basic mitzvah, that if there are 5 or 10 people living in the house. So it's the ikur mitzvah, the actual mitzvah itself is sufficient with one candle each day. But someone who wants more than the basic mitzvah, so he, then the master of the house, can light a candle for everyone in the house. Or everyone in the house can light their own candle. Bahamadri Mina Mahadri, and someone who wants even more mitzvahs, even more quality. So Meshama Emri Memrishin Madlik Shmaino Mekam Veila Kwesis Vahela. So then not only does he light one candle each day, but Meshamai says that he lights 8 candles the first day, 7 candles the second day, 6 the third day, and so forth. And Hillel says, no, you light one candle the first day, 2 the second, 3 the third, until you go up to 8 candles. And the Gemara says, why is there a machlekes, an argument between Beis Sham and Beis Hillel? Omar Ula Pliki Botrei Amaroi Vemarov, Rabbi Yesi Barabim, Rabbi Yesi Barzvita, Chado Omar Tanya Beis Sham and Kinei Yemen Anichnosim. Some say that the reason for Beis Shammai is because each day we celebrate how many days of Hanukkah are yet to come. The first day there are 8 days of Hanukkah yet to come, the second day there are 7 days. Time of the Beis Shilu Kinegim Yomim Ayotzi. Beis Shilu says no, that we signify how many days of Hanukkah are here. The first day 1 day of Hanukkah is here, the second day there are 2 days. This is one. Some give this reason. The time of the Beis Shammai Kinegit Priyachar, the time of the Beis Hillel, the Malam Ekevish Meimadim. Some say, no, these are the reasons of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says it's like the Priyachar. During Sukkot, korbanos were brought every day, sacrifices were brought every day, symbolic of the nations of the world. And it was Pekes Vahelech, a total of 70 korbanos were brought, but it was Pekes Vahelech. And the first day, a large number were brought. Then each day it became less, it decreased. So the same thing over here, the time of Beis Hillel, the Malim Yukedish Rimbavim. And Beis Hillel says, no, Malim Yukedish Rimbavim. But when it comes to a Dovish and a Kusha, when it comes to something which is sanctified or holy, then we always must go forward. We must progress and not regress. Therefore, the first day you light one, the second day you light two, and so forth. The Gemara brings, Omar Rabba Babachana, Omar Yehmin Shnei Skizkeinu Hoya Vesina. There were two elders living in Sinai. Echad Osik Beis Shammai, Echad Osik Divrei Beis Hillel. One lit 8 candles the first day. The other lit 1 candle the first day. Zeneis in Tam Lidmor Kinege Priyachai. One gave his reasoning because it was like the sacrifices which came on Sukkot that were decreasing. Zeneis in Tam Lidmor, the Malim Vakirish Memberin. And the other gave his reasoning like Beis Hillel, that when it comes to a Dovish and Yusha, when it comes to a mitzvah, we must start small and build up. So here we see the halacha of the volume of candles that one is to light. Now the question here is that the Chazal gave a mitzvah, and then it gave us a mahadri, someone who is not satisfied with the basic mitzvah, how can he do more? And then it gave us even another dimension, a mahadri min hamahadri. But how can you even increase in this, in the volume and the quality? This is something we do not usually find. Usually there's a mitzvah. This is the mitzvah. And if it's such a mitzvah you can add to, this is left to the individual. The Gemara usually does not discuss it that much. But here there's an actual halacha. There's a ner ishu beisa, it's a mitzvah. There's a mahadri, and there's a mahadri min hamahadri. And this is the only place where we find such a little structure given to it. Why here by Hanukkah? And it's appropriate to make mention here that even the basic mitzvah of Hanukkah is a mitzvah that comes from the Chachom. Hanukkah does not mean HaTorah. It's the mitzvah that happened after the Torah was written. As we mentioned, it was during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara actually asks, the Gemara and the Chof Gimel. The Gemara says, what kind of bracha do you make when you light the Hanukkah? The Gemara brings the brachas. One bracha you make, Asher ki choha ben yitzvei sevetzivon ul lahadlik mer shel Hanukkah. And another bracha you make, Yishua sonisim and so forth. The Gemara asks, how can you make a bracha? How can you make a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us to light neres, that we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, we bless Hashem, that has sanctified us with mitzvahs and commanded us to light the Ner Chanukah. Where in the Torah did Hashem command us to light the Ner Chanukah? This is the question Mor asks. So Mor answers, Rav Yomar Milei Sosom. Kem Yomar Shal Avicha V'Yagetcho V'Keinecho V'Yemru Lo. Even though these mitzvahs do not have their source, their direct source in the Torah, even though these mitzvahs do not have their direct source in the Torah, but indirectly the Torah has commanded us. Hashem has commanded us to light these candles. Because in the Torah it states, Shaifti, Leisoso, Min Hadover Hashiyah Gidolocho, that you should not turn away from the instructions of the sages of the Torah. That you must go to the sages of the Torah, to the Sanhedrin, when there is any question and doubt. And how they shall instruct you, this is how you shall do. And lay sorcerer, and you shall not turn to the right or to the left from how they shall instruct you. This is what Hashem has commanded. Therefore, if they instruct you in a mitzvah, so you are commanded by Hashem to fulfill this mitzvah. If they instruct you to light Ner Hanukkah, then you are commanded by Hashem to fulfill this mitzvah, to light the Hanukkah. Therefore, we make a bracha, Asher Kichonu Mitzvah Tzivonu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us to light the Ner Hanukkah. Heichon Tzivonu, where? Commanded us with the force of Leish Osor that we shall not turn away from the Divrei Chachamim. So actually, the whole basis of this mitzvah is from the Chazal. So here we see not only did they reveal to us their kayak, their power to enact new mitzvahs in the Torah that the Torah gave to the Chachamim with their chokhmah satera, with their wisdom of the Torah. But they even enacted dimensions of mitzvahs in the Torah. That if you want to fulfill the mitzvah in its basic level, if you want to be mahadir, you want to go to another dimension, if you even want to go to a greater dimension. Now why do we find this here, Dafkia, here in Tanakh? Not only that, the Gemara, one of the few places that the Gemara brings this source, that we are obligated to listen to the Chachomim, with the jurisdiction of the Torah, with the authority of the Torah. This is Bainyan Hanukkah. So we have these observations here. When the Gemara comes to tell us what Hanukkah is, first of all, it doesn't mention the whole war at all in the Alanisim that we say. We do mention about the war. The Rabbi Miyad Mahatim, the Givori Miyad Haloshim. But here the Gemara doesn't mention the war at all. That's all. It mentions only about Nesim and Nora. Seems that this would be the Ikra Nesim, the Ikra miracle, the main miracle. Secondly, the Gemara seems to be preoccupied here with the fact Kishimichnasa Yavonim Lehekel Timu Es Kol Hashmonim. The Greek Empire came into the Hekel, they made and cure all of the oil. Is this all that they did? They ravaged the Hekel. They ravaged Yerushalayim and they ravaged the Beis HaMikdash. The Braisa seems to be preoccupied here with the fact that they were Timu Kol Hashmonim Shabbat. That they caused impurity to all of the oil of the Hekel until finally one flask was found with the seal of the Kaibot. Another observation is why do we find here in Er Chanukah not only in the Chazal an act of Mitzvah, but with all types of extra additional dimensions to the Mitzvahs. And here the Gemara brings out that the Chazal, there are many places where the Chazal enacted Mitzvahs, and the Gemara asks, how do we make a Brocha Tzivon? Here is where the Gemara illustrates that. These are some of the observations that we're asking here. The Gemara tells us that the Milchamas Chanukah, the war of Chanukah, was against the Yavonim, the Greek Empire. To understand this whole parsha, we have to try to understand what was the essence of the Greek Empire. What did they stand for? The Torah tells us about this empire in the Medrash Rabbah, right at the beginning of Bereishis. One of the earliest psukim in the Torah says, "Va'aretz ha'isa tohu v'vavu." It's actually the second pasuk in the Torah. "Va'aretz ha'isa tohu v'vavu v'cheshech al pedei atom." After Hakadosh Baruch Hu created Shemayim v'aretz, in the beginning, the world was tohu v'vavu. It was empty. It was void. There was darkness over the depths. Ruach Elokim merachefes al pnei ha'moyim, and the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hovered over the water. HaChazal darshan expounded from this posuk. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, there were imperfections in the world. It was not a perfect world, it was an imperfect world. And four imperfections are mentioned here. The land was tohu, empty, vavohu, there was a mixture of confusion. Choshech, there was darkness. Tahom, there was an empty depth. Then, the Ruach Elokim Rechefes al pnei ha'moyim. Spirit of Hashem hovered over the world. The reason for this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a perfect world. His handiwork is perfect. But our world, our domain, is not capable of receiving this perfection. So therefore, when the world came into our state of being, it was imperfect. And these imperfections that the Torah describes in the physical element of the world, this manifested itself not only in the physical element of the world, but in the spiritual element also. And this is what the Medrash expounds. Medrash that we brought many times before. Medrash embraces Parshas Hay, Parshas Beis, Os Hay. Rishimim and Lokish posak rov b'malchus. These four imperfections refer to four great empires, four great imperfect empires that will try to destroy the world. The world was tohu, empty. This refers to Babel, Babylonian Empire. Shneimar yisisa oretz vihine tohu. Babohu zu malchus madar. Bohu is malchus madar. This is like Hashem. Now, Babel was the first world empire. This the Torah tells us in Sefer Bereishis. Bereishis mamlachei Babel. Babel was the first malchus to come and stand up against Klal Yisrael, destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Medrash is bringing out here that each Malchus will try to conquer the world and to conquer Israel, and each one will be swallowed up by its follower. Babel was destroyed by Achashverosh, by Kadesh, Malchus Monar Korash, which was the second empire, and then they tried to destroy Klal Yisrael. This was the story of Purim. Shneamar vayivilu vayavilu lohav yasona. Cheshech, the third imperfection, zu malchusho. Cheshech, darkness is malchusho, the Greek Empire. We mentioned before, the Greeks came and destroyed Molayo for us. And then they went up against Klal Yisrael. Why are they called Cheshech? Shifu enehen shiyisrael b'zeyoseh. Because Cheshech means darkness. They caused darkness to Klal Yisrael with their decrees. The time of the Chanukah story. Like we say in the Alanisim, that they stood up, Havim Mechukei Betzemecho, they stood up to cause us to forget the Torah, to cause us to leave the chukim, the statutes, and the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the Megillas Chanukah, it tells us that there was at that time a great Shema. The Yevonim came and they made decrees. The Jews can't keep Shabbos, can't keep Kashrus, they're not allowed to be circumcised, they're not allowed to learn Torah. And their kavona, their intent was Lahaviram Mechukei Ritzenecho, to cause them to leave the Torah. So this is why they're called Cheshech, because darkness to the eyes of Klal Yisrael with their decrees. Shehar Yisrael meres lehem kisva lakeren ashor sheinom chelek v'keren Yisrael. They would say to Klal Yisrael, write on the horn of the bull that you have no portion in the God of Israel. This is what they exclaimed to Israel. Write on the horn of the bull that you have no portion in the God of Israel. Al pnei ha-tohom. What does it mean, the depths? Zu malchus ha-reshor. This is Edom. This is the fourth malchus, Eshot. After the Greek Empire went into Eretz Israel and tried to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, which they were not successful, then, after that, rose up Edom, the Roman Empire. They destroyed the Greek Empire, and they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And they're referred to as the Tahom, the depths, Shein lo cheker k'may ha-tahom, because that empire will be almost unlimited in its power, just like the depths are almost unlimited. Ma'atom azein lecheker afreshoim him. And we find that this fourth gulus that we are in now is almost unlimited. Ruach Elokim Rachefes, what does it mean in the spirit of Hashem will hover over the waters? Zeruch Shumelach HaMashiach. This will be the fifth empire. And this one is not an imperfection. This is a perfection. This is the Ruach Hashem. This is the empire of the Melach HaMashiach. He will come and he will destroy Edom, the Roman Empire. The schus of water, what is symbolized with water? Chuba. So the Medrash here refers to Yovam as Chesha, darkness. Their decrees were darkness against Klal Yisrael, and he told Klal Yisrael to write on the horn, the bull, you have no chelek, you have no portion in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? This will have to be memorized. But we see from here how the Medrash classifies yoga. Now, actually, we have yet an earlier source. An earlier source for yoga itself, and that is in Parshas Noah, after the flood, in Pasuk, in Bereishis, Tes, Pasuk, Yud Ches, Torah tells us, Vayivan Eneach Eitim in Atev Hashem Vachom Yochas. There were three sons that came out of the table, out of the ark of Noah, and their names were Shem, Chom, and Yochas. Chom was Kenah. Chom was the father of Kenah. Later, in Yud Pasuk Beis, the Torah tells us, B'nei Yefes, Gamer, Umogeg, Modai, the Yom. Yovan was the son of Yefes. So we see that Noah had three sons. One of these sons' name was Yefes. And the son of Yefes was Yovan. So this Greek empire, the father, the Greek empire that we're referring to, that the clash was with Kanaka, this was the son of Yefes. So let's see what we can find out about Yefes, and maybe we will understand a little more about Yovan. The Torah tells us, these three sons were the son of Noah, and not only they were three sons, but from here came out the entire world, because they were the only three sons left, and from them came out the entire world. Later on, the Torah starts to list the nations that came from these three sons, because I'll say there were 70 nations. Chazal tells us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, the first man, he had 70 powers, 70 papers, each one different than the other. And each one he gave over to one of the main sons that from them would come out the nations of the world. There are 70 basic nations to the world, and all the rest are mixtures. 70 in Klal Yisrael. And all of these papers came into Noah, because the rest of the world was destroyed. And each of his three sons took one part of Noah, which was one part, one third of Noah and one third of the first man. And from them came out now, again, the 70 nations, and that's why all of the nations in the world are called the Menaneah, children of Noah. So the Torah here is telling us in this passage something very important. That you should not look at these three sons as three children, but from here grew the entire world. These were roots to the world, just as a root gives its energies and its powers into the tree and the branches of the tree. So was it with these three sons in regards to the growth of the world. Noah went and he fell from the level that he should have been on, and he planted a vineyard. This was after the great flood. He drank from the vineyard, drank wine, he became drunk, intoxicated, and he lay revealed, uncovered, in the tent. And Chom, the third son, saw. Torah tells us this was the father of Canaan. The reason why we mention the father of Canaan, because it was through Canaan, through his son, that he knew of this. He saw the nakedness of his father. And he told his two sons outside. So his two brothers. So the other two brothers, Shem and Yefes, they took a garment, and they put it on their shoulders behind them, and they walked backwards into the tent, and they covered the nakedness of the father, and their face was turned the other way, in order that they should not see. The Ervas Avim and Noah woke up from his wine, and he understood what his small son did to him. And he said, Ever Avodim Yehiyeh Le'echov. He says, cursed is Canaan. And he didn't curse Chom, who he was referring to, but he cursed Chom's son, which we'll see why in a minute. Oru Canaan, cursed is Canaan, you shall be a slave to your brothers. The Gemara says we find the Canaanim. The Stam Eved is a Canaanim, but this was a declaration which was fulfilled. But the Canaanim were generally slaves to other people. And he blessed the God of Shem, be Canaan Eved Lomek, and Canaan should be a slave to him. Yach Elokim LaYefes. The word Yach, the Targum says Yachti. Let Yefes become great. It has two meanings, Yach. One is Yachti, let him become great, with an expanse. Then it also has a meaning in Yifui, let him be beautiful. Yishkein Bo'al Hashem, he shall dwell in the tent of Shem. Here there are two interpretations. Rashi brings Yishkein Bo'al Hashem, let Yefes become great, but still the Shekhinah should be in the tent of Shem. But there's a Gemara that we find that there was a certain element of Yefes himself that would dwell in the tents of Shem. We cannot have a Lomai, and Canaan should be a servant to him. What took place here that Noach all of a sudden started to make all of these clothes and all of these brokers? The modern Sanhedrin tells us, modern Sanhedrin of Ein, Rabbi Shmuel, the discussion between Rabbi and Shmuel. Chad Omar Sirsu, the Chad Omar Robert. When Fom saw the nakedness of his father, that he was laying revealed in the tent, so he didn't end with that. One says Sirsu that he sterilized his father. The Chad Omar Robert. And the other says that he committed an act of homosexuality with his father. Mandi Omar Sirsu Mitaik Shekil Kudribi Kololoi Kudribi. According to the one that said that he sterilized, why did he do this? Because he didn't want his father to have any more children. He said there was enough children. If there'll be more children, so then they'll kill each other when it comes to dividing the world. Like the children of Adam. And therefore, Noah cursed him in regards to his fourth son. The man was the fourth son of Chom. And Noah said that you caused me not to have a fourth son. Therefore, I will curse your fourth son. So that this Canaan is the fourth son of Chom. According to the one. So that's how we know that he must have sterilized him. According to the one that says there was an act of homosexuality, so how do we know this? Just says Vayar, he saw. So he has a Zeresh Olam. We can learn it, we can darshan it. Because here it says Vayar, and by Shechem, with Dina, it says Vayar. Vayar I saw Shechem ben Hamor. So we know that there was some from Ashkir. Tesis brings in. Why didn't he curse Chom himself? Why the fourth son of good? He should have won against the fourth son, but why did he curse Chom also? It's Chom who did the act. So Taisha says, because Mishum Dama, the gracious Rabba, Yuraimer, if he should cause a way, Vorech Elekibas Mechas Bona, then Klolova Mokum Broch, Yicha Bayemer, Oru Kanan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they went out of the table, out of the ark, HaKadosh Baruch Hu benched Noach and all three of his sons. He gave them brokers to start the recreation of the world. And therefore, Chom had a broker from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to place a klal or curse where there's already a broker from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very difficult. Yet he was cursed. So therefore, he mentioned the curse in regards to his son Kenan. So we see that this was the act that was committed by Chom against Nayach, and this is why he cursed him. He said, "You are cursed," and he gave a declaration and a prediction that you and your children will be slaves forever. The Kafar, this is how it was. Why did he bless the other two? So as the Torah tells us, because they went and they protected his honor, they covered him. So why did he bless Shem? He said, "By Yishkin Bale Shem, Baruch Hashem Elokei Shem, blessed the God of Shem." And he said that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall dwell in the tent of Shem. Why did he give Shem this bracha? And to Yefes he gave a bracha, Yafle the Kilo Yefes. Why didn't he give them identical brachas? They both were partners in the same act. So Rashi tells us they were not exactly partners in the same act. Rashi brings Enksi Vayichu El Vayikach. It does not say Vayichu Shem VeYefes Es Asimlo, that Shem and Yefes they took the garment, but rather it states Vayikach Shem VeYefes Es Asimlo, Shem VeYefes he took the garment. Enksi Vayichu El Vayikach. It should say they took the garment to cover their father. It does not say that. It says he took Vayikach Shem VeYefes. What does this mean? Shem is Amitz B'mitzvah, Yesu Miyefes. Shem was the initiator. When Shem saw what took place, so he told Yefes, "Let us go cover our father." He took the garment, and Yefes followed. Shem is Amitz B'mitzvah, Yesu Miyefes. So therefore, they were not Shavah B'Shavah, they were not equal partners. Shem led, and Yefes followed. Rashi brings from the Medrash that besides the brachas that Nayah gave them, they were given a special reward. What was this reward? The children of Shem were covering their father, Mazeka to the talis with tzitzis. Who were the children of Shem? Abraham. 9 generations later, Abraham was born, directly son after son from Shem. So Yisrael comes from Shem. And they were zeichet to the talis of tzitzis because he covered his father. Why, how was Yefes rewarded? Yefes was rewarded zocha l'kfura, the woman. He was zeichet l'kfura, that the descendants of Yefes, when they would die, we find that they were buried. Shnemar etein l'geit mokan shom kever. That God will have a place to be buried. We find they were given burial and even an Eretz Yisrael. So this was his reward. What did Chom get from this? Chom shebizah something, and Chom that disgraced his father. Nemar b'zarei, it says, and his children came yinag melech Ashur eshvi Mitzrayim as Gorus Kush Nohorim was kenim oru yachav v'chashuv v'sheish. That when the Melech of Ashur brought the prisoners of Egypt, this was all from the genealogy of Chom, from Egypt, and Golus Kush, and Kush was from his genealogy. When he exiled them, the Melech Ashur, and he brought them as prisoners, so we found that he led them, children and old ones, naked and barefoot. This is how they were led away into captivity. Because they were Mamazas, only they dismissed them. The Maral in the Sefer Gorayi, he brings from Medrash Rabba, here on the Parsha. But the Medrash says what Rashi says, that the reason why Yefes, Shem, was given a greater reward is because he was this Hamish, he was the one who initiated, he started. But then the Medrash has something additional. The Medrash says, Imash Mashinema Vayil Chachoranis, This is in Parsha Lamed Vov, Os Tes. In Yedea, she erves avim leirov. It says they walked in backwards. If they walked into the tent backwards, so we know that they did not see the nakedness of the father. So what does the Torah tell us? They didn't see the nakedness of the father. Not only did they walk in backwards, but they covered their faces, they covered their eyes. And they treated their father with the greatest honor and respect, like one should when the fear of the father is over the children. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shem, but you treated your father with such respect and covered his nakedness, so I will pay you with the talis. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yefes, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Yefes, but you treated your father with such kovod, so then I will repay you with kura, you will have burial place. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Chom, you disgraced your father. Chayecho, I swear, Shani Perei Lecho, you will also be disgraced. So the Medrash here mentions two elements. One is that Shem was misameich the mitzvahs. Shem was the initiator. He was the one who started this act of mitzvah. And secondly, the Medrash mentions that the element of kovod of honor. They gave kovod to the father, therefore they were zeicher to the talis or to kfura. Now, a talis is kovod, because a talis is a garment. And the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, and Yechon himself will always say, Leilam leikolisi machdeisa, monai monai machdeisa, moni al moni machdeisa. I never would refer to my garments as a garment, I would refer to them as those that honor me. Because the garment honors a person. So a talis is kovod. He gave kovod to the father, he received kovod back. Kfura also was kovod. Burial also was kovod. How do we know this? The Torah tells us that when the Beis Din would find it necessary to put someone to death, they'd hang him or something else, they're not allowed to leave him like that. So they must take him down and bury him. On that day he must bury him. Because they saw him kinis ashlikin, they shall not, because by leaving him, they saw him as nivlosko. He kill him as a king. Nivlosko, he kill him as a king. What? He shall not, you shall not leave him there, because you are disgracing the image of Hashem. Because a man is created in the image of Hashem. The body is the body that had the image of Hashem. Kovashi Kvarenos. So we see that if you leave him without burial, this is a disgrace. You bury him, therefore this is honor. This is why we always say that when we misasik the Kfeid Hames, we're going to give honor to the dead, to bury him. And just like a garment covers the person, does the burial cover the person? The person returns to the author, to the dust where he comes from, and he is covered. So we see that both of these were honor. Honor in return for honor. They gave kovod, they gave kovod to their father, they were given kovod back. But there's a distinction between the honor that the talis gives the person, talis of mitzvah, and that the kfura gives the person. And in this, the Maral says, Adover Homo, something very deep. The talis, Shem Sitzis, this gives honor not only to the goof, not only to the body of man, but also to the nefesh, to the life and the soul of man. For two reasons. Firstly, you wear the talis when you're alive. So not only is the body getting receiving honor, but also the life, nefesh, and the shaman is receiving honor. Secondly, a garment which is not a garment of mitzvah, this gives honor to the body. But every mitzvah, any mitzvah that a person does, this is not the body doing the mitzvah, this is the soul doing the mitzvah. Because the mitzvahs are connected, they are related to the soul of man. This is not merely a garment, this is a talis of mitzvah. It's not merely a talis. So this is relates not only to man, but to his soul. So Shem was given honor to the entire man. Kfura is honored only for the body. Because the burial of a person takes place after the life, the nefesh, and the soul has left him. And why is this? This is why the two reasons of the Medrash are related. They received honor because they gave honor to their father. But Shem was mishamech b'mitzvah tchila. Vayikach ein tzir, ela vayikhu, does not say that they took the garment, it says that he took the garment. Shem was the one who was mishamech b'mitzvah. Shem led in the mitzvah. And yet it's followed. This comes from the nefesh and the neshama. The one who follows, this comes from the body, from the goof. Why? Because if you will extract the neshama and the nefesh from the body, then the body is dead. After a person dies, according to what the Gemara says, but if Baruch Hu takes out his soul, he takes out his chiluk. So the body is silent. The body has nothing to do with it. The body itself, if it's isolated. So the body is a follower. It follows the movements of the life which is in the body. Tenua, a movement that relates only to the life of the body. So the body, by nature, is a follower. It's not a leader. But it is the life in a person that leads. And when it comes to lead in mitzvahs, this is the neshama act. So when Shem led in mitzvahs, this was the keach ha-nefesh and the keach ha-neshama. So he gave honor with his nefesh and neshama and his goof. Therefore he was rewarded not merely with a kfura or not merely with a garment, but a talis of mitzvah, which is honor for the complete man. Yefes that followed, this already now, this is the nature of the goof of the body. Because the body follows the nefesh. Therefore, he was honored with food. He was honored with them, given an honor which respects man after his life and his nefesh left him. And then the Gurai goes a step further. As we mentioned before, these three sons were not merely sons, but Mehenna also called others, that from these three came out the entire world. And each three inherited a chelik, one of these three parts, the portions of Neach. And Neach here represented Adam HaRishon, the first man, because he was in the place of Adam. All of mankind was destroyed. And this is why all of the peoples of the world are referred to as Bnei Noach, the children of Noach. And therefore he says that we can determine each portion that each of these three sons inherited by the names that the Torah gave them. Man is made up of a body, and then he's made up of a physical life, and then he's made up of the neshama, man in its entirety. Chom, the word chom means chaminus, heat, and this represents the physical life. Because physical life is the heat of the body. And we know that the physical life, its center is in the heart. The heart, you find the chamina shel haguf. The heat of the heart pumps the blood throughout the entire body. Adam hu hanefesh, the blood is life-giving. This brings the heat and the energy to the body.
life energy. And when it's held at its low physical level and it's not elevated, so it's basically physical heat and physical energy, this was Chom. And if this is isolated, or if this is retained at a low physical point, this is oral, this is cursive. And we find what came from Chom. Yefes, we see represented the physical body of the person. Not the life in the body, but the goof. As we see that he followed shame, like the body follows, and he was given the kfura. His reward was the burial, which relates only to the body. This is after the whole life has left the body. This was Yefes. And yet the name Yefes comes from the name Yifui, beauty. Beauty relates to the body. Beauty is what is visible to the physical eye. The spirit is not visible to the physical eye, and the life is not visible to the physical eye. But the beauty is, the goof, the body is. Therefore his name was Yefes. This beauty. And we see that this is benched. We see this is blessed. Because Nayach gave him a brocha. Yach elekim li Yefes. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu give beauty to Yefes. Yishkein ba'alei shem. Hashem should dwell in the tents of shame, but there'll be a Gemara that will show that even Yefes will have an entry into the tents of shame. So we see that this is blessed. He gave him a bracha of beauty and yarchi, of expanse and greatness. Because the body is something to be beautiful. Because the body is supposed to be a follower. This was Yefes. Shame. This represented the essence of the person. Not the physical life corner, and not the physical body, but man in its totality, in its entirety. And this is the Nishmas Elokim, the Neshama of Hashem. And why was he called Shame? Because Shame means name. And this is the name of the person. And what is meant by this? I'll give you an example. There's much discussion between philosophers or between scientists as what is the identity of a human being, of an individual? Where is his identity? Where is his personality? Where is his exclusiveness? How can we distinguish Reuben from Shimon? If you have one man by the name of Ronald and the other man by the name of Larry, how can you distinguish one from the other? Where is this distinction? Is it in his hands? This is merely a limb of a person. Is it in his heart? And this is something that takes on a lot of relevance today with transplants. If it's in his heart, this means that if I transplant Larry's heart into Ronald, so does it mean that Ronald becomes Larry? And there are scientists that have experimented and have explored the possibility of even further transplants. Basic nerve structures, possibly the brain. There was one article written, what would happen if we were transplant the brain? So would he remain the original person he was, or maybe becomes a new person? Where is the identity of a person? The Chazal tell us that these are all merely limbs of a person. And this does not create the identity of the person. Chazal tell us, Kishem she'ein patsufim daimim zeh lezeh, kach nishmeseihen ein daimim zeh lezeh. How is one person distinguished from a second? Just like one person's face is not similar to another, so is his soul not similar to another. Just like we can see different identities in one's face, the ultimate of one's identity is determined by his soul. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a soul to each one and a different soul to each one. Just like you find all two people in the world, similar appearances of face, so will you find no two people in the world with the same souls. This causes the exclusive personality and identity of an individual. And we mentioned in a shira not so long ago that we see that the appearance of the face is related with the soul. And this is why our sages tell us that the Tzelem Elokim, the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave us a specific image to each individual, he shows on the face of a person. But its source is the soul. Now, Shem represented that soul. Why was he called Shem? Because the Chazal tell us Hashem Meira Halatzur. Why do we give someone a name? We give someone a name to distinguish him from another person. When we're interested in a group, so we don't have to name individuals. But when we're interested in individuality, in exclusiveness, in distinction, then we give each one a name. And the name represents what is particular, what is special about this individual. And this is why Shem was called Shem. He represented in the Shema, the Tzura of the person, the image, the ultimate image of the person. And because this was his power, he was Misamitz B'mitzvahs. He went first. He was motivated by the soul. While the Teach of the Odom, to elevate himself and to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. Therefore, his bracha was Baruch Elokei Shem, that let Shem be blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yishken bo le'Shem Shfina. The presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be in the tents of Shem. This is in regards to Yefes. Now, how does this relate to Yovan? No, this what we've said till now is regards to Yefes now. Yefes and Shem, the three sons. But now, how does this relate to Yovan? Hanukkah was the Milchoma, was the war with Yovan. And as we mentioned, Yovan was a son of Yefes, but Yefes had many sons. The Gemara in Megillah in Megillah, the Megillah.
Adrian. I like Adrian's shirt.
And of Hess. The Mishnah tells us. Ein bein sforim le tfilin ha mezuzus, el sha sforim le tobin bechol loshem, le tfilin ha mezuzus einem le tobis el ashush. There's a difference between a Sefer Torah and mezuzus and tfilin. Sefer Torah you can write in any language. The first opinion of the Mishnah is Sefer Torah you can write in any language. Later on the Gemara says it must be written in the Hebrew alphabet. but it can be written with any types of language. But not tefillin mezuzos. Rav Shimon Gamliel aimer, af isforin lahitli. Sheyiktvu ele yevonos. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, no. Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzos must be written only in Lashon HaKodesh, only in Hebrew. But, with one exception, and that is yevonos. A Sefer Torah you can write in Greek. So the Gemara in the first one of the days, the Gemara says, Omer Babu on the Yekna Halacha Kirim Shimon Gamliel. We pass him the Halacha by Kirim Shimon Gamliel. You cannot write Sefer Torah in any language. You can only write it in Hebrew. With the exception of Greek. My time, why did we make this exception? No language are you allowed to write a Sefer Torah except Greek. On my cross, he brings our pasuk. Yafte lekim lo yafesh bi yishkein bo aleshem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a bracha to Yefes. He said, let Yefes be beautiful and great. Bi yishkein bo aleshem, and he shall dwell in the tents of shame. Now, the one interpretation means that even, and this Rashi means that even though Yefes shall be great, but the Shechina shall dwell by shame. This is true. Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that even though the Shekhinah is to dwell by shame, but we do find that since the Pasuk writes them both together, Yefes shall be great and beautiful and dwell in the tents of shame, that there is a part of Yefes that also will be allowed to dwell in the tents of shame. And what is that? The word of shall Yefes yivo leshem. The words of Yefes shall be in the tents of shame. The language of the Greeks can dwell in the tents of shame. You can write a Sefer Torah in that language. Then the Gemara asks, the bracha was given to Yefes. It wasn't given to Yavin, to Greeks. And Yefes had many sons. Gamer, Mogi. Yavin was one son, but the Torah lists four or five sons that he had. Here the Torah means the name Yefes more than that. Gamer, Mogi, Moda, Yavin, Subo, Meshe, Vesiro. 7 sons here. So why do you say only in Greek then? Omer of Chia Bar Abba, Hainu Taim, Od Eksim, Yavte Lekim Le Yefes, Yefi Yuse Shil Yefes, Yevo Al Hashem. Because it says, Yavte Lekim Le Yefes, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Neach said, let HaKodesh Baruch Hu beautify Yefes, and he shall dwell in the tents of shame. The beauty of Yefes shall be in the tents of Shem. Who was the beauty of Yefes? Yovel. From all of the 7 sons, the extreme beauty of Yefes was Yovel. Rashi says, Yefiusi shall Yefes uloshim Yovel, l'shayni Yofem yishal kol b'nei Yefes. Greek language was more beautiful than all of the other languages of the sons of Yefes. Rabbi Elchanano says, Claimar mi mivchar bonov shel Yefes, yiksi l'shom, from the greatest son of Yefes. Make Yefes beautiful. And the greatest of his sons, and the most beautiful of his sons, he shall have the schus, the merit to dwell in the tents of Shem. Who was the greatest of his sons? I knew Yovan. This was Yovan, the father of the Greek Empire. He shall dwell in the tents of shame. Therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that in no other language can you write a Sefer Torah except Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew, with one exception, and that's the Greek language, and that came from this book. Now, we find historically that Yavam, as we see here, seems to be the main heir of this bracha that was given to Yefes. Yarchi should become great and beautiful. We find historically that he gave it over to his sons. The Greek Empire historically were known as the Av LeChochma, fathers of wisdom. They were great astronomers. They were great scientists. They were great men of medicine. Fact is, many of the scientific and medical terms are still quoted or the derivations of the original Greek. They were great philosophers. Aristotle, the Rambam himself testifies on the mind of Aristotle, one of the greatest minds that humanity ever knew. And they were great mathematicians. And they were great in these areas because they seek perfection in these areas. They were not great in these areas because they were interested to commercialize their efforts. They were interested in profits, in amassing great fortunes. It's not true. They were great in this area because they seek perfection. And this historically, there are many proofs of it. They were not like Edom, like Rome, the nation which would conquer them. The Roman Empire basically was a superficial empire. The emphasis was on something superficial. The Roman Empire was interested in expediency. They knew how to get the job done well and quick. In order to conquer, in order to amass mass fortunes, or in order to gain coveted honor for themselves, or in order to gain physical enjoyments for themselves. But this was not so with the Greek Empire. I'll give you two examples. I mentioned these before, I think. Once I heard a lecture on the ruins of the Greek Empire. They found the basic difference between those and the ruins of the Roman empires, the Roman buildings, structures. On the ruins of the Greek structures, they found that if it was marble, it was marble through and through. And on the Roman structure, it was stone or concrete with a marble facing. And this went through and through the whole series of experimentation. Another example, an architect once told me, the Greeks were masters at architecture. He said that the Greek style was to build with great columns and with tremendous beauty. They were such perfectionists when it came to beauty and perfection that when they would build their Greek columns, he said when you would look at a column from a distance, because of the light waves, the column will not appear exactly straight to the physical eye. They would measure these columns and they would build them not exactly straight, in order, when you look at them from a distance, they would appear exactly straight. And he mentioned these are certain means that we cannot even do today. We know that the Greeks were very famous sportsmen, the Olympics. The fact is, the Olympics, many of them, I believe, are the original Greek names. Discus, the javelin. But this was not sport by them. It had very little to do with the Roman sport, which was jest and folly, or our sport today. Historically, it's written that when they would have a young child who they saw could be an athlete, they would dedicate him to the field of athletics, to the field of sport. He would be dedicated for life. He would be sent away. He would be trained in order that he should become the perfect athlete. And all of their sport, all of their Olympics, the fact is it should be called sport, because sport is, the actual word of sport is chayt, jest. This was not the Greeks by them. By them this was a wisdom. This was a dedication. Books write how they would rub themselves with olive oil and prepare for the great games. And many times to the death would they compete, in order to perfect the perfect body. This was the Greek Empire. This was the Roman gave these craters to the Greeks. And he was the basic heir of Ephesus. Came from the broken Shemaya. Now we see this was a broker. And we see Nayah gave this broker, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to it. The Yishkein Baalei Shem, and they should dwell in the tents of shame, that he will even have an entry into the tent of shame. Sefer Torah, what can be more than the Sefer Torah itself can be written? The language was so beautiful. Even the Sefer Torah was permitted to be written in that language because of this bracha. So this means that this was bracha, this was not klolok, this was not chon, this was bracha. Yifu yadu, perfection to the body. They were the fathers of perfection, true perfection to the physical world and to the physical sciences and to the physical wisdom. And the Torah praises this. Where do we see it? The Gemara tells us in Brachos, Areya mechach meyokumes. And you see the wives of the nations are obligated to make a bracha, obligated to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Shenosan mechach mosa in the boss of Adam. That he gave from his wisdom to the flesh and blood. The Gemara tells us, "In yein alach adam yesh chokma badoyim tamim." Man tells you there is wisdom by the nations. Believe him. There is wisdom by the nations. The greatest wisdom was found by the Greek Empire. If this is so, so then why does the Medrash say that we quoted before, Cheshech? The imperfection that was to come from the creation of the world, darkness, Zuyoma. This is Greek Empire. We know wisdom is a light. And here it's depicted as darkness. Shehechshichos Eine Yisrael Begzeireisa. That they darkened the eyes of Klal Yisrael. Why was it a patient? We see here it was an aura light, a beauty. The answer is, it lies directly in the bracha of Nayach. Why did Nayach give the bracha to Yefes? Because by Yiku Ein Tziv Kan Ela Vayikach Malamed Shiz Hamid Shem B'mitzvah Tkima. Yovan was a follower, Yefes. He followed Shem. The initiator was Shem, the leader was Shem. And Yefes followed him. And if Shem would lead in mitzvahs, and Yefes would follow, then came the bracha of Nayach. That you went to give honor to your father, you also would be zeicher to honor. Shame would be zeicher to the honor of the soul, and Yefes would be zeicher to the honor of the body. Shame would get the talis of mitzvah, Yefes would get the kura in Eretz Yisrael. What is this distinction between the power of Shem and the power of Yefes? Shem was Torah. As the Torah tells us and the Chazal tells us, he had a yeshiva. But Abraham later learned, Yitzchok and Yaakov, from Shem came Abraham. From Shem came Torah to the world. This was the neshama. And the bracha of Shem was that Shechina should be in the tents of Shem. Even though Yefes shall have the bracha of beauty of the body, but the Shechina should be by Shem. What is the distinction between Torah and between wisdom? The Gemara tells us Haraya Chachme Yisrael, when you see the wise of Israel, you make a different bracha. You make a bracha Baruch Ato Hashem Asher Cholat Mechoch Mosai Lirei Ot. You bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has imparted from his Chochmah to those who fear him. There are two distinctions. When you see the wise of the nations, you make a bracha that Hashem has given them Chochmah. When you see the wise of Israel, you make a bracha Asher Cholat that he has imparted his Chochmah. One is a wisdom that he gives. The other is a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Cholak means a part of him. The second is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives wisdom to the nations. He's not too particular as to who gets it. When he gives a part of himself, he gives only Lirei Ot to those who fear him, who has imparted from himself to those who fear him. Medrash tells us in the beginning of Parshas Truma that why does it stay? The also the Migdush Vishakanti Bisecho make the Migdush a sanctuary for me that I may dwell there. Why is that written right after the giving of the Torah? The end of Mishpotim, the Torah there writes that the Torah was given? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have given you the Torah, I cannot be without it. An example to a king who married off his only daughter to a prince who lived far away. When it came time to leave after the festivities, so the king said, if you'll take her away from me, I will not be able to exist, she's my only daughter. To take her back, I can't, I've already given her to you. Therefore, do me this favor. Wherever you go, build a house for me also, that I might dwell with you. Kachomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say. The Torah is my only daughter. I cannot be without her. To take her back, I have already given her to my ship. Therefore, do me this favor. Wherever you go, build a house for me that I may also dwell in. Kach Nemar, therefore it says, we also in English, we shachamdi b'seichom, build a sanctuary for me that I may dwell with you. What do we see? You see, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, the Medrash tells us he gave himself also. He could not give the Torah and remain behind. He gave the Torah and he came with the Torah. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. It was a good purchase, the Medrash says. Because when you purchase something, you usually only get the article that was purchased. Here, Klal Yisrael not only got the article that was purchased, but the seller also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went along with him. What does that mean? That's Shechina. Shechina means HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells. When he gives Torah, he dwells with the Torah. Therefore you make a brocha, Shecholat Mechochmosai, who has imparted from his own wisdom, his own self, to those who fear him. This was the greatness of shame. And therefore Nayak said, B'yishkein bo le'shem, Shechina shall be by you. Masters of the Shechina, this will be by you. The greatness of Yefes was, he will be masters. He will understand the secrets of the physical world. And therefore you shall be zaycha to greatness of the physical world, to the greatness of the physical wisdoms, and to beauty. To sum it up, the distinction between Torah and Chochmah is wisdom is something which is man's work. And it's chol, secular. It's great. It's a broch. It's a light. But this is man's work. Torah, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. This is Kodosh. Sanctified. Sanctified means it's neither. It's beyond the person, it's above the person. When you study science or you study mathematics or you study medicine, this is something that you can bring into your world. When you study Torah, you have to ascend to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. This is Kodesh. This is why the Gemara says, If someone tells you there's wisdom in the world, leave them. But if they tell you there's Torah by the nations, I'll come. Do not believe them. Torah, this was given only to Israel. Only Israel ascended to Torah. And none of the other nations. So Torah is the Kiddusha, the Shechina, the soul of the world. And wisdom is the body of the world. And when the soul leaves and the body follows, then you have a perfection in the world. And this is what took place at the time of the Baruch of Noach. But what happened when Yavan decided to come and take this sanctity from God's Israel? They decided to come and rule Israel. The Maral writes, "Ein gibur miskane le gibur kneisa." The Gemara says, a strong man, he only envies someone of equal strength. We notice that they were not interested in conquering Eretz Yisrael because they were interested merely in expansion. They were not interested in conquering Eretz Yisrael for gold or for silver or for greater territory. Galadisim, it tells us only that they were interested Lashkichon v'teresecho u'lavirom v'chukei v'tzerecho. They were only interested in coming that Klal Yisrael should leave the Torah, should leave the mitzvahs. By nature, they were the fathers of wisdom. And they could not accept the fact that Klal Yisrael was the father of Torah, was the father of Shema. And each of these empires wanted to rule. And they wanted to rule the world. And to rule the world means that they had to destroy the Torah of Israel and destroy the Kedusha of Israel. Because here lies the difference between Torah and between wisdom. And by nature, this is what they went up against. This is what they attacked. And this is what they warred against. And that's why it was a time of Shmad. Israel was not in danger. There was no danger to it. Had they laid down the Torah, had they given up mitzvahs, there would have been a peaceful coexistence. This was the crux of the battle. The Gemara tells us that the symbol of Kiddusha is Shem, oil. Symbol of Kiddusha Sator, for two reasons. First of all, from the oil comes light, and the Or Shel HaOlam is Torah. Vayhi Or, from the Or who created light, says Ze Avraham Avinu. This is Avraham Avinu who would bring light to the Torah, to the world. Oil comes light. And what kind of light comes from oil? The Gemara says Shemen is the symbol of Kedusha. Because our Kol Dovash and Kedusha, anything that's sanctified, we use Shemen to give it a sanctity. When it came to give sanctity to the Kahani, we were commanded that we must anoint them with Shema. When it came to give sanctity to the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, all of the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, we anointed with oil. When it came to give sanctity to Malchei Israel, to the kings of Israel, we were anointed with oil. To show that if there's a king of Israel, this is not just a regular king. The sanctity, it represents the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The vessels in the Beis HaMikdash is something which is above us. This Chochmah was given to Klal Yisrael alone, not to any other nation. And who was it given to in Klal Yisrael? To the Chachmei Yisrael, to the wise of Israel. worldly wisdoms were given to the Greeks. The wisdoms of Torah that was given to Klal Yisrael and to the wise of Israel. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Mamre, Bez Din HaGodl Shebishalayim, the Bez Din HaGodl, Sanhedrin HaGodl in Yerushalayim, came Iker Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. They are the Torah Shel Ba'al Peh. They are the basis of the Torah that was given to Israel. Because who is to interpret Torah for us? Who is to direct us in Torah? Who is to instruct us in Torah? Veheim amudei ha'erot. They are the pillars of instruction. Veheim chayku mishpat yetzei l'chol Yisrael. And from them will come out law and statute to all of Israel. Ba'aleihen hiptichu Torah. And it is on them alone, on they alone, that the Torah has relied on. Shenemar al pi haTorah asher yerucha zumit v'es. It says that in accordance to what they should instruct. So here was the contest. The contest was between the Chachmei Yisrael, who represented the Kedusha of Torah, and the Chachmei Yovan, the wise of the Greeks, who represented the worldly wisdom. In the Beis HaMikdash, the symbol of this Torah that would come from the Oran HaKodesh and would go out to Israel through the wise of Israel, this the Gemara tells us is the menorah. Menorah represents Talmidei Chachamim. Menorah says on Shabbos that if someone is careful with lighting candles, Rashi says they're Ner Chanukah or Ner Shabbos, especially Ner Chanukah. He or she will be zeicher lebonim Talmidei Chachamim, to children Talmidei Chachamim. Someone who has a dream, the Gemara says in Brachos, when he's dreaming of oil, the oil that was used in the menorah, Yitzpel Chochma, he should pray for the wisdom of God. And the Gemara says that someone who wants wisdom of Torah, let him turn southward. Let him turn southward. Because the menorah was on the south of the Beis HaMikdash. The south side of the Beis HaMikdash was the menorah, and on the right side was the shulchan, the table. Shulchan represented physical wealth. The menorah represented the chokhmah hatorah shel ba'al peh. Now we can understand what the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. Kishenichnusu yevonim behechel. When the yevonim came into the hechel, kimu kol hashmonim shebehechel. They made impure all of the oil of the hechel. The Gemara says that this, that there were great wars and great battles, this was of cardinal importance. But this was not the war. This was not the heat of the battle. Because had Klal Yisrael conceded to be mevatel, to annul its Kedusha, then there would have been no war whatsoever. The heat of the battle was kishenichnasu yevonim lehechel, when the yevonim came into the hechel, timu kol hashmonim shebehechel. They were interested in being timu. They didn't burn the Beis HaMikdash like the Romans. They defamed it. They disgraced it. They caused impurity to it. They said, Kisu lachem al keren ashor, the Medrash says. They exclaimed, right on the horn of the bull, that you have no portion in the God of Israel. What does that mean? They said, why do you hold yourself so great? Who says you are the ones that have Torah? You lost your Torah when you went and worshipped the golden calf. Go right on its horn that you have no chelek in Torah. This is what the Medrash tells us. What were they worrying about then? This was their milchoma. And Gibor Miskane Elabi Gibor Kemeser, the strong man, he only envies one of parallel strength. So therefore, tivul kolashvami shebehevku. They caused impurity to the whole Beis HaMikdash. Ukishekovru, Malchus Beis Chashmonoi. But when the Malchus Beis Chashmonoi became victorious, Benotzku, and they were the
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.